The effects that are happening to us and say, God, we're going to remain unchanged, and we're just going to say there must be something that we're missing. And I would say from the event that we're about to look at in Paul and Silas's life, there was something that they were missing. And what they were missing is that there was an entirely different group of people that were going to not just get saved, they were about to get radically saved. In a way that was not going to happen under any other circumstances. A series of chain reactions can set us free in so many different levels. And I believe that today's word is going to be a word that can actually set you free in the circumstance that you're in today. Whether it's with your family, whether it's with your job, whether it's with school, whether it's with some kind of professor that's just off the wall for you and you don't know what they're talking about, whatever might be going on, God has a message for you that's going to allow some chain reactions to take place in your life, and you're going to see God in a way that maybe you have never seen him before. And I would say this, that Paul and Silas decided to ask God to help them to see things the way that he does. We can look at our circumstance and say, man, everything is going against us. I've lost my job, or things in my family are messed up, or I'm not in the position that I thought I would be in. You know, 10 years ago, I thought that these things would be going on, and they're not. And we can say that my perspective can master me, or I can begin to master my perspective. And blessing is simply that. I think sometimes we start looking at blessing as something physical that we can touch. But I can tell you there are times that I have not appeared to be blessed, but I am totally blessed. Does that make sense? I haven't appeared to be blessed, but I have been totally walking in the will of God and been fully blessed. Somebody look at me and they go, man, God must hate you. Look at all this stuff that's going on in your life. God must hate you. I go, man, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. How can you have that perspective? And here they are. They're in this situation. And somebody could say, what is the perspective? And really what's happening is that my perspective, and this might be worth writing down, my perspective is a product of my connection. My perspective is a product of my connection. And simply stating that means that what's going to happen is that I am connected to Jesus Christ. I am connected through the Spirit of God. And any circumstance that I find myself in, I have learned over the years to just say, all right, God, what is it that I am supposed to learn through this circumstance? I have literally stopped praying, God, get me out of this thing. Because sometimes that's not really the goal at all. The goal is sometimes to be in a situation. The goal is sometimes that there's something that I need to learn. Can you imagine if Paul and Silas, all they were doing right now is saying, God, get us out of jail. God, get us out of jail. We're not supposed to be in jail. We're supposed to be preaching. God, get us out of jail. That wasn't their perspective. Their perspective was completely based upon the connection that they had with the Lord. And everything may not have been flowery and perfect. I have a tendency to believe that Paul and Silas were people and not robots. I think that, you know, at some point, there's a little bit of frustration that can set in. I mean, can you think about it? Paul has experienced and is about to experience some really bad things in his life. If somebody was ever going to look at someone's life and say, God must hate you, that would be Paul. Paul hardly ever made it through a situation without somebody stripping him naked and beating him. How would you like that to be your ministry? Where have you been? Oh, man, I tell you what. I was over in Titusville, man. The next thing I knew, they were hitting me and beating me, and I had to pick up my clothes and run away. And then I went to Centerville, and gee whiz, it got worse. Don't even get me started with Union City. Oh, my gosh, those people. You know, I mean, he could just be, he's just going around the area, and that's exactly what's happening, is everywhere he goes, something is taking place. And Paul's perspective is completely based upon his connection with the Lord. not with what somebody can look at in reality. So the prison that he was in was either going to be his passport, or it was going to be something that would hold him back. And what we've seen is that in life, these different reactions can bind us up, or they can set us free. And this morning, I want you to see that they decided to check their perspective. They decided to look at some things. And I wonder if we can even get locked in to our society. Because what it says to us here in the scriptures is we're looking at this and it says, and they went and they had been afflicted and they had been many blows were put upon them. And then in verse 24, if you have a chance to look, I want you to look at verse 24. One more time, because something happened here that set the stage. One of them was this. It said, having received the order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. I don't know if you know what stocks are. Some translations might actually say shackles, but stocks don't, what they are, they actually keep your feet together and you walk like those green army men. Everybody have those green army men? Right? You've been finding them under your bed for 20 years because they never can break. Right? So these are the shackles, and the shackles are chained. And these shackles, I've heard songs about shackles. I've heard songs about breaking chains. People have written poems and given things. It's amazing what happens when our shackles get set free and when we're broken from those things. But they actually restrict your movement. You're not able to move. You could never. It would almost be funny to watch if the jail were to be opened up and their shackles weren't broken. And they were to start tearing across the field. You know, I'm even running fast. I ran faster than they would be able to. I was sprinting. They wouldn't be able to do anything. So the clue there is that they were definitely shackled. And we can have all kinds of spiritual implications that go on. But something else happened that maybe you missed and you didn't notice that was in that verse. Something else took place that I think was actually a huge mistake on the part of the jailer. In a part of this verse, we just kind of glanced over it, and I intentionally read it a little fast. Maybe you didn't see what happened that I think was the mistake that they made. But in verse 24, it says, having received this order, he put them in the inner cell. He put them in the same cell. If you're going to be in a tough situation, how many of you want to be in that tough situation with another brother or sister in the Lord? One of the things that jailer wasn't realizing was that the two of these guys were going to get together and they were going to be able to encourage each other out of this situation. This morning, if you're in some kind of place in your life, the last thing you want to do is to be alone in that situation. This morning, you did the right thing. You woke up and you hit that alarm and you got dressed and you came to church so that you could be fellowshipping with other people who are going through the same stuff, that you can see other people who are going through real life, and that you can experience something incredible, not because everybody's perfect, but because everybody has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And these two guys were put in prison together. Can you imagine this situation? If Paul was like me, and he's in this thing, and he's trying to get, he's just been whipped. They were stripped and whipped. And then put in shackles and thrown into a dirty dungeon. You see, they're trying to, I can't lay on this. Oh, that side hurts. Oh, that side hurts. Oh, this is just awful. I can't really sit up. Oh, man, this stinks. You know? And then all of a sudden, over here, let's make Silas the optimistic one. You know? I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, and Paul's over here like this, you know. He's like, Silas, shut up! Right? Golly, I can't do, oh, this hurts so bad. You know, and he's over here, Silas. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. You know, Paul's like, No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. It says that they started singing hymns together. I wonder if one of them had to encourage the other one. I wonder if one of them had to be the first one to open their mouth. Because guess what? When you're in a situation where you feel that everything is closing in on you, you definitely don't want to be alone. You want to be in prison. You want to be in prison with somebody that you know and you love and you know their heart. And you're saying, I'm going to go through this thing. And man, we're going to drag each other through this because the devil is not going to get the victory on this. Jesus is going to get the victory today. And we are going to sing our way through that victory in Jesus' name. And the Bible says that as they began to sing, I wonder if it even happened all at once. The Bible says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. I wonder how long had they been doing it? How long did it take for Silas, our optimist, to convince Paul, the one who's like, this is again? Come on, really? And he's there and he's saying, now we're going to be singing this stuff together. We're going to be worshiping. After the first hour, Paul could have said, I told you it wasn't going to work. And Silas is like, shut up. Keep singing. We're going to be praising God. We're going to see God get through this. I don't know if you've ever had a prayer partner that's like, come on, let's do it. Jesus had to do it. Are you going to pray with me? Or are you going to sleep? He said to his disciples. He would come back to them and say, could you not even pray with me for 1 hour? As if that was nothing. Did you ever catch that part? He said, could you not even pray with me for 1 hour? As if that were nothing. I don't know if I've ever prayed 60 minutes continuously. That's a long time in our modern day. And Jesus came back to his disciples and said, pray. It's only been 1 hour. What's your problem? He probably wasn't that mean. Jesus was a lot nicer than that, I'm sure. But when we are in those situations, we want to be in those situations with someone, not isolated, not falling apart. Not breaking down. The enemy does not want to attack apathetic people. The enemy will only go after somebody who is doing something. The person that's on fire faces the most heat. And that's why we use that illustration of being filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, of having the fire of God come upon us. Why? Because it is in that moment that we wake up and we say, God, I really need you to do a miracle in this place. And then the chain reaction begins to happen. And maybe somebody who was sitting next to you was in that apathetic state. Then they were saying, I don't know if God can use me. I've tried this thing before and it doesn't seem to be working out. And then you can say, the fire of the Holy Ghost is upon me, and God wants us to come together. The cross before me, the world behind me. Let's begin to say, God, I'm going to do something incredible in your relationship. I'm going to see God do incredible things, that we need to break through the process, that what Paul was doing and what Silas was doing, whether one was optimistic or pessimistic, I obviously don't know. But what I do know is that the Bible says that at the midnight hour, they were singing and they were praying, and then the earth began to shake. And that's an incredible thing that took place. The earth shook. And I want you to see, Scripture lets us know that a chain reaction was about to take place in their lives. A chain reaction, and here it is. And suddenly, in verse 26, there was a great earthquake. so that the foundations of the prison. I want you to know that when you begin to move in God's world, when you begin to see things the way He does, He doesn't just shake the things on top. He begins to shake the very foundations that you're standing on. And God will meet you in a way that He has never met you before. And God will begin to show you things that you thought were just part of your tradition and part of your family heritage. And He will begin to shake up the foundations in your life. Because it is the foundations that hold everything else. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, everybody say immediately. And immediately all the doors were opened, which makes total sense if there's an earthquake, that the doors would be opened. It makes total sense. But something that makes no sense whatsoever is that immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. That makes no sense whatsoever. Not just Paul's and Silas's. Can you imagine being in prison with those two guys? I was talking about one trying to build up the other one. Can you imagine you've been in there for 20 days? Oh, here we go. Somebody thinking they've got the thing figured out. Shut up over there. We're trying. Hello? Trying to sleep over here. You guys have been in here one night and you're already belly aching. I've been in here for a month. Hello? You think they were just allowed to do whatever? I don't know. I've never been in prison, but I've seen a lot of movies about prison. So I'm an expert. They're raising that kind of thing going on. Some people might have been saying, hey, these guys were thrown in jail because they cast a demon out. I wonder what's going to happen. Somebody might have been sitting on their haunches looking down the hallway, trying to catch a glimpse into their cell. I wonder what's going to happen down there. I wonder what's going to happen. You know, somebody else might think, these optimistic newbies, they don't understand, they're going to die down here. And then Scripture says, at midnight, immediately, the doors were opened and all of the bonds were broken. Not just Paul and Silas, who were praising, who were doing the work of the ministry, who were out there putting themselves out. Not just them, everyone's bonds were broken. This morning, I want you to see something, and I want you to see it right now and very quickly, that if God has set you free from something, there's a good chance there's a ministry that's just on the other side of that doorway for you, that God is saying, you've been set free, now it's your turn to set somebody free. You've been released from this, now it's your turn to release somebody from this. You've had this revelation, now it's time for you to share this revelation. It's time for you to take a stand and to say, God did this thing in my life. I am changed and I am different because of it. And now that I am changed, God wants to set many people free, not just me. How easy would it have been for that earthquake to happen and for Paul and Silas to be the only two to walk out of there? The part that we didn't get to, the jailer realizes what had happened, realizes that the prisoners were all set free. And in that day and age, that didn't happen on your watch. He drew his sword and he was about to take his own life, Scripture says. And then Paul says, wait a minute. Look around. Everybody is still here. Everybody is still here. There's still a work that God wants to do. There's still something that needs to take place. Even though we've been freed from this situation, we're going to camp out here for just a moment and we're going to make sure that everyone gets free. Did you catch that? Some people were set free from their physical bonds, from the physical jail that they were in. But that jailer needed to be set free that day as well. That jailer needed a revelation from God. And guess what? For him to open his eyes and look all around and see all the prisoners, how were Paul and Silas able to orchestrate that? We don't know how many people were in there. Even if there was five, somebody would have been like, see ya. You know, there could have been 10, 15, 20. I don't know how many people were in jail that day. They didn't bother to tell us. But the jailer looked all around. Everybody was still there. And Paul and Silas showed the true love of Jesus Christ to that jailer today. I was pondering some titles for things, and probably one of the most important ones that we see in this story is, when it comes right down to it, the pivotal person in this event is that jailer. The jailer is the only one that we hear the conversation with. The jailer is the only one that interacts. All of those things took place. If you can imagine this just with me for a moment and realize that Paul and Silas were going to Asia, that door was closed. They were redirected to Macedonia. While they were in Macedonia, a woman was annoying the heck out of Paul, and instead of sending her home, he cast a demon out of her. And that set their life on a different path that day. And you can say that it was from setting that person free from that demonic oppression, but I say no. I say that it started when God said, I don't want you to go to Asia. I've got something else in store that I want you to do. I've got something incredible that I'm going to do in your life. Today, God may be closing a door in your life, but I want you to know right now that it is all, I would rather have God shut a door any day than go somewhere where God doesn't want me to be. Can I get an amen? I would rather have a door closed. I'd rather have a wall right in front of me that I'm saying, I got to break through this thing. I got to push through. And if I don't get the release from it, and if I don't get the ability to go through, I don't want to go where God doesn't want me to go. I only want to go where God wants me. And that's what happened for that jailer that day. These two men were not hundreds of miles away because of his salvation. That's how important he was in the life of those who are going to be coming to Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet this morning. This morning, I believe that God has a call and a purpose for each and every one of you. I believe with all of my heart that there is a place where some of you are going to say, I need to begin to worship right where I am. I need to be able to pray right where I am. And I need to not look at my circumstance. I need to look at the connection that I have. And this morning, your connection must be with Jesus Christ. Your connection must be with Jesus. You must have the ability to see beyond the circumstance and say, God, I want to know you in such a way that I would be able to look past the physical world that I live in and say, God, there must be a greater thing that you have unrolling for me. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm asking you today, do you have that type of connection with Jesus Christ to be able to look at those situations and to be able to say, God, today I know that I could pray through something. And maybe you're there this morning and you're saying, I don't know that. I don't know that I have that kind of connection with Jesus Christ. Well, today, God brought you here today. God changed your circumstances. I don't know how you ended up in this sanctuary this morning, but I know for a fact it was so that you would hear that Jesus Christ is willing to change everything to introduce himself to you. He's willing to change a multitude of circumstances so that you can hear the word of God and have it change your life. This morning, you are not here by accident. You are here because Jesus Christ loves you unconditionally. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to him this morning. If you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ and respond to that, I would ask you to simply signify that by lifting your hand right where you are. God wants to meet you right where you are this morning. God wants to come into your life. He wants to change your perspective. He wants to open some things up to you. If that's you this morning, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, and nobody's business but yours and yours alone. If you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to just signify that by lifting your hand and saying, that's me. Today, I want to have that kind of connection with my Savior. If that's you this morning, I know that God is pricking on a few of your hearts, and that's okay. There's no pressure. I'm not going to make you stand here until you do it. But I want you to know that some point today, some point in this coming week, God is going to continue to introduce himself to you. And I would pray that the revelation of Jesus Christ would come to you this morning, that you would be able to say, God, I've seen the evidence of your hand in my life. If that's you this morning, can you just say today, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to turn my life over to you today in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is going to continue to reveal himself to you. Praise God. Amen. Also this morning, I would ask that you would begin to look at the circumstances that you're in and to say, God, I want to be able to pray and praise through anything. You say, well, I can't sing. Well, that's okay. Everybody's got a way to play music. Everybody's got a way to have music in their life. I believe that worship is a key to a breakthrough in our lives. This morning, I would ask you to say, God, I want to pray and praise through the circumstances and situations that I'm in. Today is the day that God wants to change your perspective and give you that connection. Father, this morning, in Jesus' name, I pray over my brothers and sisters in Christ. I just ask right now that your Spirit would move through them so mightily that they would be able to recognize that any circumstance that they're in is not the absence of your love, but it actually may be the prodding of your love to push us into places where we would not normally go, to take us into circumstances that we wouldn't normally face, but only through the power and the authority of Jesus Christ can we walk into something and say, God has made it possible for me to talk to you today. We thank you for that. We praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise this morning. God, we thank you. We exalt you. Worthy are you, Lord God. Come on, church. We just thank you for the circumstances and the situations that we're in, and we pray for your hand to be upon us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'd ask that throughout this week that you'd be finding ways and seeking for ways that God could prod you and have you cause a chain reaction in the ones that are around you. Don't forget, we have our home groups that are getting together, and we have a couple of locations that are taking place. They're on the website, phone numbers and addresses if you need them. And also, we have our youth ministry that's going to be meeting at the Kennedy House tonight. And so we want to make sure that everybody knew that the youth group was going to be at the Kennedy House. If you're wondering where that is,